Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. We're going to welcome in Jay Busby from Yahoo Sports, longtime friend of the show. What's up, Jay? Good morning.
Hey, boys. Everyone staying safe?
We're trying to the best of our ability.
Now, where are you located, Jay, again?
I'm in Atlanta.
Atlanta.
I'm in Georgia, where we have beaten the virus. We're all good here.
Well, yeah, I know. That governor's taking a lot of heat, a lot of criticism. What's it been like sort of in your area? Do you know a lot of people affected by it? I mean, obviously everyone's affected by it, but do you know a lot of sick people? Or what's it like sort of in your hood?
Well, you know what sucks is that I know a lot of people that have gotten sick, but because of the lack of testing, we don't know if they've gotten sick. I myself, back in March, was down for about a week with something that had some really suspicious symptoms, but it was never bad enough for me to be able to get a test. So
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's thankfully, knock on wood, knock on anything, we haven't known anyone that has really suffered from this. But, you feel like it's only a matter of time.
Now, I read your article about your visit to the Waffle House. Before you talk about what that was like, you write in the article about how meaningful the Waffle House is to people in Georgia and to you. Talk about how big the Waffle House was for you in your life.
Yes, I was born on a Waffle House parking lot. I was raised in a Waffle House. No, it's just a place to go. I know it's not in D.C. I went and looked, and it's just a little bit down I-95 for you guys, down in Dumfries. So if you head down there, you can get a Waffle House experience. It's a place where it's every single Waffle House is the same, and yet somehow that's comforting in a way that it's not at a lot of other fast food places. And for me, the food is the food. It's familiar, but what's great is the stories. You go in there and you will see and hear something new every single time. I go to Waffle Houses late at night when I'm done covering games. Every single time I'm there, I get a new story to tell people. It's just it's a remarkable little melting pot and meeting spot for people in the South. And so the fact that it's back open, it has a little bit of emotional significance for a lot of people.
I love that you went, and it looks like obviously there weren't anybody in there, but are you going to go now and like hit that hand sanitizer hard as soon as you get back into the car? I'm going to do it. I think we should open up things slowly and smartly, but I'm still going to be hitting that hand sanitizer.
I didn't even wait until I got back to the car. I took the hand sanitizer and the mask in with me. I'm not sure that made the article, but I was masked up and sanitized up in there. I mean,
right.
It seems like, you know, if you tell the you of January 2020 with the precautions that you were taking, you'd think you were insane. But I mean, it's why take the risk? Why take the chance?
Yep.
So how many spots are open just in terms of restaurants down there in your neighborhood? What like is it 100% of the restaurants open? Is it 50%?
I'd say maybe less than 20%. There are a lot. I mean, there's a if you talk about any major chain, most of them that are with the exception of the Waffle House, most of them are staying closed. I think it's because of liability concerns. You know, somebody goes to McDonald's and claims that they get sick from catching COVID there, they're going to sue McDonald's. So I think that's still there is a lot of resistance inside the state to Governor Kemp's decision to reopen the state.
All right. So what is your take? I see you have tweeted sort of the different divisions that they're proposing potentially for baseball and MLB. We talked about it in the first hour. I mean, it sure is bizarre, but man, I think we'd all agree. We'd all love to see it if they could find a way to make it happen. How do you see it actually playing out?
Yeah, it's going to be so difficult to figure out how to do this safely, and especially with fans in attendance. I don't care if they make every, you know, all 30 teams in one giant division and it's a round robin tournament. I don't care how they do it, as long as they get teams back out on the field. It was kind of fun speculating what it would be like, and I'm an Atlanta guy, a Braves guy, so the Braves were in the Central Division, which was a little bit unusual, but I mean, I don't have a problem with any of that. There's just so many logistical aspects to it, and the key, you know, we all sound like broken records. The key is testing, knowing who's infected, knowing who's not, knowing who's at risk, knowing who's not, and we are so far from that right now. I see it happening in some form, but man, it's a long way off. There are still a lot of hurdles to clear before that first pitch.
Yeah, we were talking about some of the players that were bitching about it when they were proposing that Arizona site. You know, all the teams go to Arizona, Jay. And, yeah, you know, Mike Trout didn't like it. Kershaw didn't like it. There was a few other big salary dudes. I mean, his wife is expecting a baby. He's not going to sit, you know, and go to some hotel for 4 months when his wife is at home. That's just not happening. So some of these big salary dudes might say, look, you guys can do what you got to do, but I'm going to stay with my wife and kids.
Yeah, I mean, they've got the power to do it. I mean, the flip side of that is, look, you're making a whole lot of money for this, and part of that is to carry forward the game. It's not just that you're not getting paid just for your winning personality or just because you can make a hit there in the bottom of the ninth. You're getting paid to represent the game and to represent your city, and this is an aspect of it. But, again, there's so much involved in putting sports on. If you've got tests for athletes, you remember what happened with the Nets and the Jazz a few weeks back? It seems like 3 years ago now, but when basketball teams were getting tested and doctors, medical professionals still hadn't, that was a really bad look. So until we get to the point where testing is free and easy for everyone, it's going to be a tough sell to get a lot of athletes back on the field.
Mm-hmm. We're joined by Jay Busby, Yahoo Sports senior writer, at Jay Busby on Twitter. That's JayBusBee. Now, you're based in Atlanta. We know the Falcons were having some discussions with the Redskins about trying to move up to try to get Chase Young. They couldn't do it, moving up from 16 to 2. I guess it was too many picks and draft capital to part with. So the Falcons stay put. They take A.J. Terrell out of Clemson, defensive back. Three of their first four picks defensively in this 2020 NFL draft. Dan Quinn trying to shore up that defense in Atlanta.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Falcons last year, when you recall, Dan Quinn was within about seconds of getting fired and managed to save his job and put on a pretty good run in the second half of the season. I mean, they did all right. I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but they weren't ever threatening for a playoff berth or anything. But they, considering their horrendous start, they rebounded it. So, yeah, if they can shore up the defense, that's always been Dan Quinn's specialty. That's what he made his bones on. And so if they can get that going, you know that the offense is going to be good with the Falcons. It's a matter of whether the defense can hold up its end of the deal.
And that division should be pretty fun this year with Carolina rebuilding, Matt Rhule coming in. Of course, you know, Tom Brady going to Tampa Bay. Jameis is now relocated within the division as a backup to Drew Brees. There's a lot going on in that NFC South.
I'm not kidding you when I say that I'm thinking about writing a damn book about this division. I really hope that it plays out as well as it looks, because it's got three probably Hall of Fame quarterbacks right there when you include Matt Ryan in there. You got Jameis Winston, who I find just fascinating, mainly because I don't have to root for him, but I just find this guy fascinating. And then Carolina, anytime you've got a college coach coming in and instituting a whole new system top to bottom, it's going to be fun to see whether that works out with him, with Joe Brady, the Jedi mastermind from LSU. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch in that division.
Well, yeah, what are your expectations for Brady and Gronk specifically in Tampa?
Pretty low, honestly. I mean, Gronk for Gronk specifically, he was pretty washed when he was playing in 2018. I mean, he was the shadow of his former Gronkness, and so I'm not sure that a year off is necessarily going to help him. I think Brady's going to be fine. He's got some of the best receivers that he's had ever in his career.
Right.
He's going to have guys that are excited to work with him. He's going to have an open system. He's going to have a coach that's not looking to keep his thumb on him and keep him down. So I think it's going to be a fun year for Brady.
Jay, getting back to the Falcons for just a second, you can't release a uniform tweak or overhaul in 2020 without everybody on the planet hating it, outside of maybe the LA Chargers. I think those were, you know, universally loved. What do you think of the revamp for the Falcons heading into 2020?
I didn't hate it. I got to be honest, I didn't hate it. I mean, you know, the ATL on the front, it's a little bit striking, but you're right. No matter what you release, everyone is going to hate it unless you release the old uniforms. Like for the Falcons, that would be the red helmets and the black jerseys. Mm-hmm. But even back then, people hated them. So, yeah, no matter what you do, people are going to hate it. I love – I think I wrote an article about this a few weeks ago. I love the NBA city jerseys where they have, you know, a couple of times a year they will do a jersey that's inspired by the city. Obviously, the NFL doesn't have that many games, but I would love to see a little bit more artistic elements to these uniforms, take a few more chances, but then that's kind of against the entire ethos of the NFL, taking chances.
Jay, and I hate to switch gears, but I believe you're a bit of a NASCAR guy, right?
I am a bit of a NASCAR guy, yes.
Yeah, so what is their current thing? I'm not. I just, you know, I watch the big ones, the Daytona sure. And, you know, whatever. But you know, what is sort of the current thinking on that? I mean, obviously, I think you could do it without fans, right? I mean, from a TV perspective, I think it would be, just be fine. I'm sure the fans would hate not being there. I guess from a crew perspective, could you socially distance and still work on a car? I don't know if that's even possible. What's sort of the current thinking on NASCAR and when they might be able to come back?
Yeah, the NASCAR being is located primarily in the South, and the South being, shall we say, a little bit free and easy with regulations, NASCAR is looking like it's going to come back sooner rather than later. They're already talking about a mid-May return in Charlotte and Darlington, South Carolina. So you're right. They won't have fans in the stands, and there will have to be some sort of provisions for the crew getting close to one another. Mm-hmm. But NASCAR can run without fans in the stands. And, you know, the easy joke is that they've been running without fans in the stands for a while now, so they're used to it. But, it looks like NASCAR might well be the first of these big, big sports to come back.
Have they had an attendance issue? Is that what you're alluding to?
Oh, God.
I have no idea.
A huge attendance issue. I mean, if you remember back in the early 2000s, you know, Dale Earnhardt was big, NASCAR was huge, Days of Thunder, all of that. It has taken a huge slide since then. And NASCAR's attendance is a huge factor for NASCAR right now.
So, like, kind of what were the numbers? Give me in a certain event then versus now. Like, what kind of difference are we talking about?
Well, let's put it this way. A lot of tracks had capacities of around 160,000. They would sell out, and they have literally taken down entire sections of stands to cut their capacity by a third or by a half.
Sounds like FedEx Field.
It does sound a lot like it. That's correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jay, it's going to be so weird and surreal to watch sports come back. Whether, you know, the PGA Tour will be the first league back, scheduled anyway, the second week of June. All right, that'll be fanless. All right, it's, you know, look, I'm a big golf guy. I'm a golf nut, so I'll watch it with fans or without. It's just going to be surreal to watch these sports, especially if the NFL does it, if the NBA comes back, the NHL's talking about doing it in, like, some random cities in Canada.
Yeah.
It's just going to be weird to see professional athletes go at it when they really feed off the energy of these crowds. If they go at it without fans, it's going to be weird and surreal to me.
Yeah, that's true. I did a story right before all this hit on a basketball team that had to play, the Siena basketball team that had to play without fans because they had someone on their team was infected. And they said it was a strange adjustment because you can hear everything. If a mm-hmm. guy goes and bitches about a ref, the ref is going to hear it. If a coach is calling out plays in a huddle, the other team's going to hear it. And that's just some of the adjustments. But, yeah, there's going to be a lack of intensity. There's going to be a lack of being able to be buoyed by the fans. And, yeah, for the rest of us, I mean, we spent the last 6 weeks watching games on tape. It's going to be weird to be like, oh, wait, this is live? This is actually happening now? This isn't a replay of 2012? So, yeah, there's a lot of adjustment that's coming ahead for us.
So when you're driving around Atlanta, is it just a ghost town, or are you noticing more and more people getting out?
It's not a ghost town, but, man, you can get, I mean, traffic in Atlanta is like traffic in D.C., and the fact that you could drive guaranteed speed limit from one point in the city to another point in the city is nothing short of a miracle.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
So crazy. More and more people are getting out, though.
Yeah, people are starting to move. I mean, people have always kind of been moving around. It hasn't been quite – there's been a shelter in place, but it hasn't been quite as dramatic or draconian of an edict as other places. But yeah, I mean, at night, you can't hear the highway. At daytime, you can drive at speed limits. So, yeah, it's a different world here.
Do you get together with friends and sit out in your yard or, you know, and have a cocktail, or you just stay inside the whole time?
I am not a doomsday prepper hiding in my basement. I am a big fan of the socially distanced happy hour. So we've had a little fire pit, and I that That meets every, we literally, we have people that are medical professionals, and we've looked at every regulation, and everybody's sitting at a wide distance apart, having a drink around a fire pit meets all CDC requirements. So I would endorse that for
everyone. Well done.
Good job. I love it.
Job well done, Jack.
Fire pits are blowing up during the pandemic.
God, I love it. I love fire pits so much, boys.
Oh, yeah. Me too, brother. Yep. We could be brothers.
Well, you got to do it. I mean, you got to live your life.
Yeah. Well, try to do it within reason and do it under the guidelines, and we want
exactly.
That.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm not saying be reckless about it, but you still have to get out there and socialize.
Yeah.
Well, and it's for your mental health, too. I mean, I think that a lot of people who've always kind of scoffed at mental health are starting to realize, hey, man, maybe I need to take care of my head as well as my body, too.
Oh, yeah. Right. It's more important, to be honest with you. Yeah.
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 Hey, thank you, Jay. Really, really appreciate it. Great stuff. Stay safe down there, buddy.
Absolutely. Y'all take care.
All right.
You too. At Jay Busby on Twitter. It's at Jay Bus B with two E's. Yes. And I misstated earlier. I said it was from my memory. Waffle House in Georgia went from 40,000 employees to 12,000 employees.
Yeah. I mean, it's still a huge cut.
I could tell you, look, I live in a neighborhood which has a bunch of restaurants here, and most of them are offering some sort of curbside, or maybe you walk in to get your food. Paladar has kind of an open bar, which goes to the outside where you just pick up your food at the bar. Mm-hmm. But Coastal Flats, they have two people that are constantly waving and trying to get people in. They got this huge sign for best buns because you know you love the bread from Coastal Flats and Artie's and all of them great American
Brett
restaurants.
Turned me on to it back in the day.
Yeah, they're
the
like donut like holes.
It's like a donut.
Yeah,
bread's so good.
So
it's like a donut.
They're really good.
I think I could have 6,000 of them.
So good. And the butter, the creamy butter.
There's something about the butter bread combo there. It's the greatest anywhere on the planet.
It's very really good.
And they do seem to have some business going, but if you think about it, even if they have five cars lined up curbside and it's constant, it's nothing like a full restaurant.
No,
it's not the same.
Well, and they're also not making money on the liquor sales, liquor, beer, wine, whatever it is.
I think they may be selling cocktails there.
They are, but they're just selling it. They're selling one, and then you take it home.
Correct.
You're not ordering, you know, four or five.
Yeah, they're not having the drunks come in and order multiples.
Yeah.
That hurts the biz.
Yeah, my wife and I were talking last night, because we're doing one day a week curbside, and we're just trying to figure out where we're going. We haven't been to Passion Fin in a while. I think we might hit that this week.
Oh, the Passion Fin coming back.
Might go to Passion, fellas.
The place you have a 5% stake in that you haven't admitted on the air yet.
No, more than that. It's 15%.
You got to get double digits. What am I talking about? A measly 5%.
Right.
That's nothing.
All right. Phone number you want to chime in on anything, 800-636-1067. You can text us on the Thompson Creek Windows text machine. Standard message data charge.
I'm on it right now.
Same number. And you can tweet us at Junks Radio. Remember, we got Super Agent David Falk joining us at 840 to talk about Michael Jordan and The Last Dance right here on The Junkies.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies Company Live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. As always, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You're looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. We want to turn to the Redskins a couple days after the draft. Sam Fortier has an article in the Washington Post about their roster and the biggest remaining question marks and how do we think it's going to play out. And the biggest one, probably the most obvious one, is who will start at tight end. Oh. Unfortunately, I think the answer is going to be Jeremy Sprinkle, because right now you're looking at Sprinkle. You're looking at free agent additions Logan Thomas and Richard Rodgers.
Yep.
They also have Hale Hentges on the roster, and they brought in Thaddeus Moss, who has a foot problem, which, by the way, he dropped out of the draft. He really only played 1 year at LSU, right? Mm-hmm. And he did have a good national championship game, but he didn't have overwhelming numbers at LSU. He's not a burner, and he has the foot issue this year, and apparently 2 years ago it knocked him out from a season, so that is troubling.
Yeah, J.P. Finley was on with Chad Dukes yesterday, and he was saying that people kind of snooze on Hale Hentges.
Hmm.
That he right now, he might have the best overall skill set of all the guys in the tight end room. Even more than, obviously, Logan Thomas, who's a project. You know, he's converted
quarterback. I'm a Logan Thomas guy. I'm a Logan Thomas guy, Cakes. That's who I'm putting my money on.
Well, apparently Ron Rivera is too. He brought him in, and it seems like he's going to get more of the workload, obviously, than he has in seasons past in the NFL. He's very limited at this point as to experience wise, but he's going to get more of a chance here than he's ever gotten in the NFL.
Here's what Ron said to the Post: the staff has seen glimpses of Olsen-esque athletic ability from Thomas. And he added that their tight ends coach felt very strongly about Thomas because of his smarts and savvy. I'm telling you, I'm a Logan Thomas guy. I liked the signing the day I heard it.
You're a Logan Thomas truther?
I just think he's got ability. He's a great athlete, obviously. And I think he
can be
productive.
Look, with more on his plate, maybe he turns into a 35 or 40 catch type of guy.
I think so. I think
that's
sort of
role.
And maybe Hale Hentges will be legit, Cakes. I'm just looking at his career numbers. And he's got 8 catches in the pros. And in college at Alabama, he had 15.
You can't go on numbers with any of these guys, really.
I mean, they're not going to have elite tight ends.
What about running back? Running back, I think, is a question mark.
That is one of the bigger questions. I was kind of going through the article there, if you want me to go to that.
They've got a ton of RBs right now. I mean,
running back is an issue.
I don't know if you want to consider Antonio Gibson a running back or not.
Geis is going to be amazing for 3 games. He's going to be incredible. He's going to light your shorts are going to be on fire when you see him play. And then he's going to go down. And then you're going to go back to AP. And then it's going to look like Callahan ball, and you're going to want to blow your brains out. Hopefully not, Cakes.
I don't think it's going to devolve into that.
You don't know what's going to happen with Bryce Love. For some reason, I think Peyton Barber is going to emerge as the number one.
He could. I mean, he's been the number one before.
And I can see McKissick, who they signed to be a third down back, being a casualty, if you consider Gibson a running back. Like, it seems like McKissick would be redundant to
some of the guys
they have.
What about Peterson possibly being cut?
It's possible.
It could be, but I think Rivera likes the culture that he's helping establish in that locker room.
Has he been quoted hyping up AP Rivera? Or are you just assuming that, Cakes?
I haven't heard that.
I think he.
I'm sure he likes
like
him.
Thomas Davis. You know, he brought him in. I think he kind of views AP in the same light.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, especially when you have all those young RBs with Geis and Love and Gibson and
team light.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, especially when you have all those young RBs with Geis and Love and Gibson and Barber. Who knows? I just think that RB is an interesting position because can't imagine they're going to keep 5.
No. I think Gibson's going to make more of an impact too. That I think he's going to be, I don't know if I would say heavily involved, but he's going to be involved. I mean, they spent a relatively high pick on him, and I think Scott Turner is going to find a way to get him reps at running back in the slot and use him all over the field.
Gibson?
Touches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. He's the one that we're – he's the X factor, legitimately the X factor.
And then left tackle.
Left tackle is another big one. Of course, they draft Sadiq Charles from LSU. They have Jerron Christian, who is a holdover. And they signed
Cornelius Lucas.
So
correct.
I would think that they're hoping Sadiq Charles will be the starter, but he might not be the starter initially.
I think Christian's going to be the starter.
Huh?
I think Christian has to be the starter.
Yeah, he's just been around longer.
His third year in the system. Like at some point, you have to start paying some dividends.
You don't turn over your left tackle spot to a fourth round pick very often.
Well, Christian was just a third rounder. Yeah, but he's just a higher draft choice.
But he's been on the roster for a couple of years. Been a pro.
Right.
You know, this kid won't know what hit him the first 6 months.
The other thing is, you know, with the abbreviated offseason, you know, you can't get out there with the young guys.
Right.
So they're not good on any OTAs.
This is where you toss the keys to Christian.
So they're going to rely heavily on those vets. Not that he's a vet, but the guys have been there before.
The other position, which Sam Fortier writes about in the Washington Post, is corner. Who's going to seize the starting jobs at corner and wide receiver? At corner, they have three guys probably battling for two spots. Kendall Fuller, Fabian Moreau, and Ronald Darby, who they signed. They have other guys like Danny Johnson, Greg Stroman, and Jimmy Moreland that are probably depth guys.
Mm-hmm.
My guess is Fuller traditionally has been really good in the slot. My guess is Moreau and Darby are going to be your outside corners and run Fuller in the slot.
Well, Fuller's starting somewhere, whether it's in the
because of the money they gave him.
You gave him 4 years and $40 million. You didn't give him that sort of money to have him be a situational type of player. He's going to get the lion's share of reps at one of those spots. Darby is on a one-year prove-it deal. Yeah. He was horrendous last year in Philadelphia. I don't know if it was scheme or injury or a combination of the two. He was not impressive. I think the Redskins just want to see if there's anything that they can, you know, squeeze out of him in a one-year deal.
And getting back to Fuller, he's the best player out of those three guys.
Right,
so he's going to play.
You know, and Valdez points out, you know, in our little chat there, that we keep forgetting they do have two extra roster spots, right, that the CBA negotiated. Now, is that going to be for this year, or is that when they go to the 17 game?
I think that's starting immediately.
You think?
Yes.
We need to find out.
So what you're saying is you might carry an extra running back or carry an extra
corner,
wide receiver.
Or whatever, yeah.
Which, by the way, is the last position. And we know Terry McLaurin's the one. It's who's going to be the number two. Is it going to be Kelvin Harmon? Is Gandy Golden, the guy they picked from Liberty, is he going to emerge? I mean, a lot of people seem to be high on him in social media. So we'll see what happens there at wide receiver.
Pretty thin, if that's all we got. I haven't even thought about it lately. You have Harmon. Obviously, you have Sims, who's more of a slot guy. You have
Trey Quinn.
Who?
Trey Quinn.
Oh, yeah, Trey Quinn, yeah. There really aren't any other candidates to be your two at this point. I think it's going to have to be Harmon to start, unless Gandy Golden just blows him away. Right? I mean, who else?
Is Jehu Chesson still in the wide receiver room?
I don't think so.
Is he gone?
Who was the big kid from Alabama that Sims?
Cam Sims
that everybody got excited about, but he never really did anything.
Yeah, he's still there.
Yeah.
So maybe you're right. Maybe it's McLaurin, Harmon, Sims now, and then Gandy Golden, Gibson right behind him.
Yeah. Cam Sims is the king of impressing during OTAs and maybe during a week of training camp and then doing just nothing. Right. A lot of nothing.
Yeah, right. Jason mentioned Cody Latimer. He's in the equation. 24 catches, though, a season ago. So,
but bottom line is they're going to rely heavily on five young guys. When you talk about McLaurin, who, you know, he's a stud, so you don't have to worry about his age. But Harmon, Sims, Gandy Golden, and then Gibson.
It's pretty scary when you think about
it. They might have the youngest receivers in the league.
It's pretty scary how thin they are. It really is.
Mm-hmm. All right, coming up next, we're going to switch gears. Everybody's been watching The Last Dance except for Cakes.
I watched the first two.
Hey, The Last Dance,
easy.
Covering Michael Jordan. We've got the super agent, David Falk, who was Michael Jordan's agent back in the day, came up with the Air Jordan phrase. We're going to talk to him next here on The Junkies.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back. Chuck is coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Everybody's been watching the Last Dance documentary on ESPN. They played episodes 3 and 4 on Sunday for the first time. And during Michael Jordan's career, he had one agent. And it's our next guest, David Falk, who joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline.
David.
How are you, David?
Are you hanging out in D.C. or down in Kiowa? Where you been?
No, I'm in D.C. I got my older daughter, Dana, and her husband in Kiowa, and my younger daughter in L.A., so we're doing the ultimate social distancing.
There you are.
Very nice.
Are you going to get down to Kiowa here the next few weeks in the summer?
I'm planning on it. It's beautiful down there. It's 70. The golf courses are open, and so it's beckoning.
How have you been dealing with the no golf here in Maryland? I know you're a big golfer.
Well, you know, I built a new house in Burning Tree, and one of the most important pieces of equipment I put in the house was not a dishwasher or, you know, an oven. I put in a golf simulator, so I'm playing almost every day.
Shocking.
Nice.
I've had two rounds last week, 69 and 70.
What's it like to be rich?
I hope it translates into the real world, because I feel really damn good on my simulator, but no one sees it.
Yeah, that's great. David's put on his golf simulator. It's probably about 10 grand. I played on the Wii yesterday, Wii Bowling. So a little bit of a different life.
And that's not 10 grand.
Hey, I don't know who says that, Eric, but if you could find one for 10 grand, you call me. I'll buy one for you.
Right.
Oh,
right.
He must have a high-end one.
Of course he does.
They come out with new ones all the time. Are you constantly upgrading yours?
Well, yeah, they upgrade the technology all the time. It's really, really fun. I mean, I'll tell you a funny story. So a really good friend of mine named Kojo Mills, who was a couple of blocks from me, he started NBA Africa. He's a really, really smart guy. He had one, and I was looking around, and the top one was called Full Shot. And so I went over his house, and he knew I had a place at Kiowa. So he said, you know, come on, we're going to play. So I went over on a Saturday. And it wasn't working. He couldn't get it to work. He called the company up. There was no service there. I said, wow, this is a freaking great endorsement for the company. So I went back the next day. They had fixed it. And he said, I'm going to put on the ocean course at Kiowa for you. I said, great. Put on hole number 2. It's the par 5. It's a great hole. So he said, this is hole number 2. I said, Kojo, that is not freaking hole number 2. It doesn't look anything like hole number 2. So the next week, I went up to somewhere in Anne Arundel County to some golf club, and they had the one I bought, HD, HD Golf, it's a Canadian company. And I said, put on hole number 2 at Kiowa. Every blade of grass was perfect. Looks exactly like it's really realistic. And Full Swing is the name of the first one. So I bought HD Golf, and I love it. I have my friends come over, you know. It's better for practicing, really, than for playing. Like, you know, right. You play closest to the pin, and it has shot data, so you can see if you're, you know, if you're coming inside, or you've got the face closed, or you have too much spin. It's really a lot of fun.
David, what is, I don't know if you've been there, but what is Michael's new club? I think it's called the Grove 23 down in Hope Sound. What's that like?
Have I been there? Of course, I'm a member. Do you think he's going to build a club and I have a choice? Like, if I play, first of all, it's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. You know, Michael, a lot of people, you know, don't know this. Michael has an amazing touch for design in his homes. I mean, it's not a question of spending. You can spend a lot of money and not have a nice house. He has impeccable taste. The club is really, really fun. So I asked him, and the best part, like, I've been down there 3 times. The last time, behind my foursome was four pros. I bumped into Dustin Johnson in the clubhouse. Ricky Fowler was playing behind me with Ulon. You know, and if you don't play fast, you got like a 330-yard drive coming in on your butt, so you got to play fast. So I said to Michael, like, how did you decide to design the course? And he said, well, you know, I want to play with these pros. They're my friends. and they hit the ball like 340. I only hit the ball like 280. So at 280, he's got the fairways come in. They narrow. So when the pros hit it, it's harder to hit the fairways. So what's going to happen, you know, 10 years from now when you hit the ball, you know, 240 like normal people? That's not going to happen.
Hey, how have you...
It looks ridiculous, by the way. It looks
how
awesome.
Have you enjoyed The Last Dance so far? How have you enjoyed sort of Michael's portrayal? I love Michael as a player and everything. I think he was unbelievable. I got to tell you, David, he looks like he's half corked in these interviews. He's got his little... I don't know what that whiskey is.
He's got that bourbon going.
I don't know what's going on there.
Tom, first of all, let's be serious. It's tequila. He has his own tequila company.
Oh, okay.
Is that what it is?
Yes, with four other owners. And I love the doc. I think the doc is... You know, the doc does several things. Number one, for the average, for virtually everybody but his real inner circle, mm-hmm. you know, it gives you an inside look into what the guy is really like. And when you see him in, you know, sitting in the chair, he's very low-key. You know, he's very, very humble. But on the court, you know, he's a killer. And when I watch it, two things, you know, it shows you how incredibly competitive he is, how driven he is to win at everything, which made him as great as he is. The second thing that's interesting to me is having seen so many of his games from 1984 till he retired, you know, in 2003. I think I missed two finals games the entire time out of the six championships. Now that I watch it, I realize that unless you're legally blind, you can't possibly think that there's another player who ever played the game that's remotely in the league that he's in. Nobody. Mm-hmm. On both ends of the court, offensively, the athleticism, the smarts, the drive, you know, I mean, he got brutalized playing against Detroit. I mean, I'd love to see some of today's NBA players play and get knocked down, you know, by Bill Laimbeer, Rodman, like flagrant, you know, stuff, you know, and never said a word, just came back and next time, and, you know, he's so much better watching it now to me than I thought when I watched him live. And when I watched him live, I thought it was incredible. But now that I see it, you know, 10, 20 years later, maybe it's because it's all highlights, it's just off the charts.
That was an interesting story. After they'd lost to the Pistons in, what was that, 90, I guess, that, you know, instead of going on vacation, they all went back to the gym and they started working out, and that's when he started to put on the weight. That was very interesting. Didn't know that.
Yeah, because he wasn't into lifting weights then. And, you know,
right.
He's the kind of individual, first of all, Michael's really smart. And he knew that's something he had to do if he wanted to get through the Pistons. I thought the more interesting story at the Pistons when Isaiah wouldn't shake hands,
right?
Which is so typical. And they give Michael the iPad to show Isaiah's interview, where he's giving his classic Isaiah Thomas complete con job that right. No one shook hands back then, which is complete hogwash. You know, and this, you know, it's like I've never had a good relationship with Isaiah. You know, because he's really screwed so many people that I'm close to, including Michael. He froze him out of the All-Star game in '85. He traded Adrian Dantley, who's my older daughter's godfather, when he was on the Pistons, to play with his boy, Mark Aguirre. And it's one thing to do it. You know, it's his prerogative. He's a great player. I went up to him at the All-Star game one year when it was in Chicago in '88. And he comes up to me in the hallway in the hotel and says, you know, in this really soft voice, like he sounds like a choir boy. He says, David, I just want you to know I had nothing to do with AD getting traded. I said, really? Well, let me tell you something, Zeke. If I believe that, I would be the only human being on earth to believe that. And he tells you in this, like, super, like, sincere way that only a classic con man can do, and expects that you're going to believe it. And Michael, you know, Michael, as he said, respects his talent, you know, but he finally came out 2 days ago, I don't know if you saw it, and said that he realizes now that it was a mistake not to shake hands. But, of course, Laimbeer chimed in and said, no, it wasn't a mistake. They're a bunch of whiners. I guess being a whiner gives you excuse to be a bad sportsman.
Well, who was a bigger whiner than Laimbeer?
That's all he did was cry.
No, they said that the Bulls were being whiners the 2 years before when they weren't able to overcome
right.
the Pistons. I wanted to point out, Isaiah just recently ranked his top players of all time and had Jordan fourth.
Shocker.
I'm surprised. surprised he was that hot.
Yeah. Well, then what else did he say? Didn't he say that the guys that are playing today, the LeBrons and KDs of the world, would be just as dominant as Jordan back then? Is that what
let me tell you, I've said this recently. You know, I watch a lot of NBA games, as you know, and, you know, the game evolves. And Michael, because he's such a class act, completely steers away from trying to compare himself to LeBron or Kobe or anybody else. He said, that's for the fans to do. But if you ask me, watching all these games with virtually zero defense, no hand checking, I think if Jordan played today, if he was in his prime in today's rules, I think he'd average between 50 and 60 a game. I think he'd shoot 75. He shoots 75% from the floor. I mean, he'd be completely, if you couldn't hand check him, yeah, he'd be completely unstoppable.
I agree.
You know, we had a client who used to play for the Knicks who got traded to Chicago late in his career. Really smart guy named Rory Sparrow. Mm-hmm. And Rory now works in the league office. And I asked Rory once, because he's so smart, I said, Rory, you're playing with the guy now. What makes him so special? And with very nonchalantly, he says to me, well, you know, most guys who are great scorers, if you double-team them, you're going to shut them down. They'll have to pass the ball. He said, well, Michael, when you double-team him, 100% of the time, he's going to score on you. But if you triple-team him, half the time, you can be able to stop him.
Right. Mm-hmm. And he's going to find the open guy who can knock down shots.
Exactly.
I wanted to ask you, Dave. Sorry about that. I was going to ask you, do Michael and Scotty still talk?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Scotty, as he pointed out, there's so many things that just people admit. Like, in the doc, Scotty pointed out, he leaves Central Arkansas, not exactly Duke or North Carolina or Kentucky or UCLA at basketball. And he comes to the Bulls in 1987 when Jordan's the best player in the league. And his goal is to be the best player on the team. Now, compare that to 1982 when James Worthy comes out of North Carolina, wins the national title, is the MVP in the NCAA tournament, is the number one pick in the draft. And he comes to the Lakers with Magic and Kareem. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you that there never was a nanosecond when James Worthy crossed his mind that he was going to be the best player on the Lakers, or that he could care less whether he's going to be the best player on the Lakers, because he's an extremely mature guy. So, you know, Pippen has a certain level of jealousy towards Michael. And, you know, he's said recently many times he thinks LeBron's a better player. Now, if you're Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan made your career, completely made your career, you know, even if you think that, keep it to yourself.
You should be kissing the ring.
So do they actually get along at this point? I mean, do they play golf together?
No, I mean, they get along fine. You know, Michael came out and said Scottie was the best teammate I ever had, which is really classy.
He understood
that Scottie provided a certain dimension to him, particularly on the defensive end. Scottie was a great defender because he was so athletic. Scottie's problem, as the documentary points out in several different places after the episodes you've seen, is that he wasn't a great competitor. There were times he just, for silly reasons, he had the migraine. Do you think that Michael Jordan, unless he had his leg amputated, Michael Jordan had food poisoning before the fifth or sixth playoff game in Utah? You know, he could barely walk, and he scored 38 points. Scotty didn't play a part of that game because he had a headache.
I knew that was coming. No, they don't make them like that anymore. They don't make them like they did Michael and Kobe.
David, we love hearing your stories. Can you hang with us during a break and do another
segment?
We can even talk about your toaster.
Yeah, we can hype that up.
I love to talk about the toaster. Okay.
I want one.
The one I'll never buy.
If you pay for it, I want it.
All right, the great David Fall.
You need it. You need the toaster.
Michael Jordan, super agent, once was dubbed the second most powerful guy in the NBA. We'll come back with more David Falk right here on The Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.